Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Menachos Daf Kuf. We begin at the Mishnah, which is around 12-15 lines from the top of the Amud. So we know that the proper procedure regarding Lechem Aponim is as follows. Come Shabbos, the Kohanim set up, they arrange the breads on the Shulchan, accompanied by Levoina, by the spice, which is actually in a spoon. And there were two of them, two bazichim of Levoina, next to or on top of the breads, depending on the various opinions. So these were set up on Shabbos, and then they remained on the Shulchan until the following Shabbos. So it was meant to be just about a full 7 days, and then the following Shabbos, they would swap the breads, according to the Mishnah earlier, we learned yesterday, according to the Tanakhama, was a very synchronized, simultaneous transition. They would slide in the new breads and remove the old breads, and then they would be makter the Levoina, which was considered a matir. It permitted, it gave the green light for consumption of the breads. It was like, you know, it's like the blood of a korban, right? So the ikar, the main procedure, applies to the blood that generates the kapara, right? You do the zrika, you apply it to the mizbeach, and then it's matir, it permits the rest of the korban for consumption, etc. Likewise, the bazikhe levoina accomplished a similar feat regarding the lechem aponim. They were the matirim, they were the drivers of the hakrava process relating to the entire package, the lechem aponim with the bazikhe. Now, what happens if he deviated from the required, schedule? Sider es alechem b'Shabbos, says the Mishnah. He set up the breads on Shabbos properly, okay, but they didn't have access to the Levoina yet, and for some reason it took them a day to get that together. Vesa bazichin, the bazichin, they only set up on the Shulchan tomorrow, on Sunday, achar Shabbos. So what happens now? Now, v'yikter sabazichin b'Shabbos. Come next Shabbos. The kohen was makter the bazichin, thinking that it's all fine and dandy. Puzzle. It's puzzle because, look, it was up there for less than 7 days. The bazichin, right? They weren't set up together. And they're meant to be one inseparable package together on the Shulchan Am Shabbos, the Shabbos, which wasn't in this case. So it's puzzle. And Rashi points out the bread is completely puzzle. You can't fix it up. You can't allow it to stay up there another little while because since it was set up on Shabbos, if you're going to leave it beyond the 7 days, it becomes puzzle, balina, by staying overnight beyond its defined time. So there's no way out. The material is puzzle, and in fact, it's not really considered properly processed material, And therefore, there's no pigel, there's no noiser, there's no tamei. Vein chayavin alein mishum pigel noiser v'tamei, since they're not really properly processed materials, because as we explained, the levoina and the bazichin are the matirim, the drivers, they're the permitters. They're the focal point of the hakrava process, and since they were not done properly, so the bread is not either considered true carbon material to be susceptible to pigel, to noisar, to tamei. So pigel would involve a kohen having some sort of deviating thought of planning to eat the breads beyond its time, etc., while he's being mocked or levoina is thinking of that. But in this case, there's no real inherent connection here. The levoina is not really being mocked the lechem, so therefore pigel does not apply to the bread, nor is there noiser. So if it's left beyond the time, if one eats a carbon material past its expiry date, there is iser of noiser. It doesn't apply in this case because the breads weren't really permitted to be eaten to begin with. And noiser is only on something which was meant to be eaten within the confined time. Don't eat it past, but it wouldn't apply in this case. Vitame, likewise, if a fellow is tummy, personally tummy, he eats carbon material, typically there's a very severe violation. There's kares penalty, but in this case, again, since the bread wasn't really suitable for consumption to begin with, so there's this concept wouldn't apply. Okay, another example of a mis-scheduling is Sideris Alechem Asabazichim B'Shabbos. Okay, in this case, he did both on Shabbos, the whole package. However, he was in a rush, and the next day he was makter the bazichin without waiting the full 7 days. Victor said bazichin nachar Shabbos. Again, psula, the same effect. It's all puzzle, and the same idea as in the previous halacha. Vein chayav and aleihem. There's no chiv on the breads and mishum pigul nois ratami, because again they weren't really, successfully processed. They weren't really suitable for consumption. So yeah. Here comes case number three. Sider es alechem v'sabazichin l'achar Shabbos. Oh, in this case, he only got started on Sunday. So the entire package, the breads and the bazichin, were placed on the shulchan only Sunday. Okay, so it's not really going to become really kaddish. That only happens if it was set up properly on Shabbos. Now, v'yikter sabazichin b'Shabbos. Nevertheless, comes along next Shabbos, the kohen takes the bazich and puts it on the mizbeach. Psula. That's no good because it hadn't been up there for 7 days. So what do you do? What's the solution? In this case, we actually have a good solution. Ketzed yasa. So what's the proper approach? To salvage the breads, etc., and to turn it into a success. Just leave it up there. Don't touch, don't leave it up there until the following, until the second Shabbos. And then you'll process it properly. No, but the obvious question is, it's up there for too long. What about Lina? Past its time, it becomes... The answer is no, in this case. There's no issue of Lina. Why? Shafilu, hi ala shulchan yamim rabim, ein bekachklum. In this case where it was only arranged after Shabbos. So the Kedusha process, so to speak, wasn't yet really activated. Rashi says, ein shulchan mekadoshay ala Shabbos. The shulchan has only... the ability to mekadesh its content on Shabbos. So if it was set up on Sunday, the Kedusha wasn't yet activated. When will it be activated? When Shabbos comes around. Okay, so at that point you start the process. Great. Or you have until the next Shabbos to remove the breads without any concerns of Lina. Okay, so you have three cases in the Mishnah. The first two cases, the breads were set up on Shabbos. So the Kedusha was sort of activated, but there was a mishap with the Bazichin. They were either set up only on Sunday, or they were hooked her on Sunday, so the whole thing is deemed failure. But when it comes to the last case, where it was set up to begin with only on Sunday, so then you have until the next week to sort of get it started again, and then you wait until the following week to complete the process, and you're good. Tanan Hasan. We have a Mishnah Masechas Yuma, actually. So the... day hasn't yet really begun in the Beis HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur, and they're waiting for the sun to rise to enable them to bring the Karban Tamid, which needs to wait until sunrise. Amar lehem Amunah, so Amunah, the fellow in charge, calls out to the lookout, the fellow who's standing on the rooftop, concentrating on the eastern horizon, to determine when, at what point, will we have sunrise. Tzuru, go out and take a look. Imegia is man shchita, if the time for shchita of the tum has already arrived. Imegia, if it already arrives. Haroya, so the lookout, Oymer calls out, Barkai, it's light. Let's go. Matasi ben Shmuel, when he was in charge, he had a slightly different point of reference. He would chant like this. Oymer, he would call out with his question, using an interesting chant. Heir pnei kol ha-mizrach ad she-bechevron, could you tell me please whether the eastern horizon has lit up all the way until the city of Chevron, Rashi says, was to evoke the fond memories, the Kedusha, the Schus of the Avos who are buried in Chevron, which will come to use on the Heilig Day of Yom Kippur for Klal Yisrael's Kapora. So it was meant to evoke the righteous Tzadikim. And the lookout would say, yeah, it's ready to go. Why did they have to take this extra precaution, go through this system of looking out? Because they got burnt once. Shabamachas Olamar Lavana. It turns out that one time the moon had risen close to sunrise and it confused them. Vidimu Shahir Mizrach, and they thought there was already daylight. And what happened was Shachtos Atamid, they proceeded with the Atamid, and it turned out they were mistaken. It was still middle of the night. Yitul Beis Asreifa, and they had to go burn it. So because of this mishap where the Levana was spotted right before sunrise and they confused it with the sun, they established this lookout system to ensure that it be done properly in the future. Okay, the mission there continues. Vayridu Kengol Beisatfil. Kengol was taken down to the place to be Toivil. And the mission concludes with a rule that had a Beis HaMikdash. If one tends to his needs, he has to do tefillah. Zeh Kol HaBeis HaMikdash, Kol HaMeisa Chas Raglov. Person tends to his regular needs, Tohen Tefillah, he needs to be Toivil before he enters the Beis HaMikdash. Chol HaMathal Mayim, only tends to water, Tohen Kiddush Tam Raglaim, rinsing hands and feet is enough. Okay, how does this pertain to us? So the Mishnah referenced the fact that if you ashechet a korban tamid, an animal, at night, it's possible. Tani avua the Rab Abin. So Rab Abin's father presented a brisa. It's not limited to animal korbanos. Loizul bavad. It's not only this. Elafil oila sa'oif. Even a oila bird. Shinumilka balaila, whose malika, which is like a shechit, took place at night. Well, it's not supposed to take place at night. Umincha or a mincha shenikmus balaila, the kmitzah took place at night out of the mincha. And Rashi points out that these korbanos are typically not those that would be considered the more prominent class of korbanos. Lav korban chashavu, he says, the ain korban betzibur. The bird, the mincha is not something which the tzibur brings. So you think perhaps it's not the same, doesn't have the same requirements, the same restrictions. And the chiddush here is, even in these, we treat them like animal korbanos. Nighttime activity disqualifies them. Teitzel beit hasreif, you've got to burn them. Ask the Gemara. I understand why, by the bird, you can't undo what you did. You remove the head, it's over. You can't return, restore the head. So that's it, it's gone. Ela mincha, but a mincha, I mean, at most you did was a scoop. Just put back the scoop and start again tomorrow, when it's daylight. Ela mincha, efshel mahader. You can just put back, restore the kaimetz, the scoop material, which happened that night, put it back to its place. And then redo it when the sun arrives. The kaimetz be imam, do kmitzah by day again. So why are we burning it? Hu tani lo v'hu amar lo. So the presenter of this halacha, the father of Abin, who presented this brisa, came around and explained it as well. Let me explain to you why. Klei shoris mekachin shlebes manan. You see, the reason why it's irreversible is because when you take that scoop, that kmitza material, and put it in a klei shoris as required, it gets committed to the process. The klei shoris is mekadish. And even though, Rashi points out, even though it's nighttime, where it's not really meant to happen at night, but that's it. It's committed to the process. It's already Kaddish. It already has a status of Kaimitz material because of this insertion to the Klei Shoris. You can't pull it out and just put it back and start over. So it's doomed. Maybe here comes a kash. Mori Brisa, which seems to say that, Kedusha, Klisha of Klei Shoris, can only affect in its proper time, as opposed to where it was done at night inappropriately. Something which is meant to be offered by day, like a regular korban. So the klei shoris will generate kedusha on these items by day. That's the proper time frame. But laila, something which is meant to be brought at night, Rashi says, like a minchas nesachim, which can be brought at night, kaddish b'laila, so that happens at night. Bein b'yom b'laila, things which happen by day or at night, then again, kaddish bein b'yom b'laila, the kaddish can be generated day or night. By the way, some take out the middle phrase because we don't really have something which is specific to laila. At most, you could bring it at night, like b'chas nesachim, you could bring it by day and at night. Some take out the middle phrase, and we're left with only two sort of categories. Day is day, and something which could be brought at night can have kedusha day or night. Okay, in any case, the concept is the same. The point is, the principle is that the kedusha of a klei shoris can only be applied to material which is meant to be processed at this given time. So a mincha which belongs to yayim does not get kedusha at night. And that's inconsistent with what we said before. Right? So we go back to the first phrase of the brisa. a carbon which is a daytime carbon kodesh, but yom kodesh only happens by day. V'yom in only by day, but lagla not at night. So what's wrong with that kmitza of the mincha which happened at night? Just put it back. There's no kedusha that commits it to any. Says the Gemara, ain't a kodesh likara. You're right. Klisharis can only generate proper kedusha to enable it to be processed on the mizbeach in its appropriate time. Aval kodesh lipasul. But however, even if it's in its wrong time, the klisharis can still have an effect on the material. A negative effect. It makes it kaddish lipasal. It makes it. It elevates it to status of higher kedusha, but not with respect to enabling it for the mizbeach. That's not so because it's nighttime. But it is now pasal. It's sort of a perverted kedusha, so to speak, and it makes it, you know, susceptible, delicate regarding various psulim, like lina, machosaki purim, who touches it, all these things which are only applicable to something which had been in the klisharis and got that kedusha. So this material as well acquires that kedusha, but not in a positive sense. So it's not right from mizbeach because it happened at night, but in a negative sense, so to speak, as well as preempting any return of that material into the original mincha and starting the process again. Ma'aser Reb Zeira. Here comes another kasha on this concept. You're telling me that a klisharis is makadish even shaloi bezmanai, out of its time. The kedusha, we said, is sort of a negative sense. Fine, but are you saying it has an effect? Kedusha can even happen shaloi bezmanai. Ma'aser Reb Zeira. Take a look at our Mishnah. And that's how it ties into our discussion. Look at the Mishnah. Seder is alechem asabzichem achar Shabbat. He set up the entire bread and bezichem arrangement after Shabbat Sunday. So that is actually the third case now, Mishnah, right? So you start on the left foot. Start on Sunday instead of Shabbos. V'hikter is abzichem b'Shabbos. Come next Shabbos, they will makter the bezichem psula. It's no good. Ketzed yasa. So what's the appropriate procedure here? Have some patience. Leave it up there until the next week. Yanechena la Shabbos Abba. And the Mishnah concludes, because there's no issue of lina, shafilu ila shulchan yamim rabim, if you leave it there a long time, in this case, where, as we explained, the name of Rashi, since the placement was not on Shabbos, so the Kedusha was not really generated until the next Shabbos, and therefore, shafilu ila shulchan yamim rabim, there's no concern. The question is, hold it. You're right, it was arranged in the wrong time. Shalei bezmanai. But we just concluded that a klisharis, like a shulchan is a klisharis, will generate kedusha on its content, even shalev is manai, and make it susceptible to lina and to all the various processes that apply to items that are kadosh, kedusha saguf. If you're going to tell me klisharis mekachin, a klisharis is mekachin, even shalev is manai in the wrong time, we should run into that issue over here. True, the breads and the bezichim were only set up on Sunday, which is shalei bezmanai, but the shulchan should be mekadesh, even shalei bezmanai, to make it susceptible to lina, right? And you can't leave it on there past, the set time. Likadesh will live so. So after a week's time, it should be possible lina, because bread on the shulchan is meant to stay only 7 days. So how could you have the law? How do you have the luxury of leaving it out there for an extra week? Amar Rabba. So again, this was a kasha on the way we explained the halacha of Avur, the father of Avin. Let's just track back for a second. So he taught us a halacha that although the Mishnah and Yuma speaks about the animal carbon becoming pasul through the shechita during nighttime, but you should know it applies even to a mincha. And the question was, I understand the mincha was nikmas in the wrong time, just restore it and restart again. No, he says the Gemara, because the klisharis that you placed it in, that's it, it internalized it, it made it kaddish, it elevated it to a status of kedusha, and you can't put it back. Despite the fact that it was in the wrong time, shleib ismanan, because of the concept of klisharis and mekadesh shleib ismanan, at least with respect to making it pasul. But now the question was, we see differently. in the Mishnah of the Lechem Apanim, which is unaffected by passage of time. There's no lina, because it was placed Shalei Bezmanoi. Apparently, Kli Shoresh is not going to have that effect. Shalei Bezmanoi. That's what we're holding. Says the Gemara, let's walk back on one point here. Amar Rabba, Manda Kamoisef, Shabba Kamoisef. The one who asked this question, that's a good question. You can't just disregard the question. On the other hand, we're asking on a great man who must have had an answer, right? Rabbanan's father, Nami Masnisa Kamar, wasn't just, he didn't pull it out of his sleeve. He presented a brisa there, right? That the Mincha, Shalei Bezmanoi, is possible. So we have to sort of reconcile this. Masnisa Kamar. So let me offer another answer, another solution to this dilemma. Let's cancel this point. Kli Shoresh is not Mekadesh, Shalei Bezmanoi. Not in a positive sense, not in a negative sense. As we have just proven from our Mishnah, the Lechem Apanim placed in the wrong time is unaffected by the passage of time. There's no Kedusha, there's no Lina. Until the right time arrives. So back to the case of the Mincha that was done at night. Why can't you just reverse it? Why is it committed to the process? It's the wrong time, it's at night. Oh, Kasavar. Because the Tana of that Braisa holds, Laila in Mechus Hazman. It wasn't like, you know, a week later. It was just night instead of day. Night is not considered lacking, so to speak, lacking in time. Why? Because night and the following day, or the past day, depending on, is one inherent unit. So it's close enough. So since it's close enough, it's part of that 24-hour unit, which incorporates the Zman HaKrov, at least during daytime, so it's close enough to the real thing, and the Kli Shoresh can be Mekadesh it. Just that it can't be used anymore because it's nighttime and it becomes possible, right? Because it was done at night. But the Kli Shoresh is fully active, even at night. In this case, where it's the night after the previous day, the night prior to the next day, which is the true time of processing the Mincha. Just read Rashi inside, very interesting Lashon Rashi, two lines from the bottom. He says, Laila nuchus hazman. Nighttime cannot be considered the wrong time with respect to this discussion. Night follows day. Hilkach mekadesh the Kli Shoresh lekaimitz. That explains why the Kli Shoresh is mekadesh, has that kedusha effect on the kmitza material placed in it. The zman, because technically it's considered the zman. The issue is not the time frame. Night and day are one unit, it's the same time frame. Problem is, it was done at night. The Kmitza was done at night, so Kmitza is possible. But the Kli Shoresh is still fully active, and therefore it has that effect on the Kmitza. You can't put it back, you can't reverse the system. But when it comes to the Lechem Apanim, we're short not just a night, we're short 6 days until the next Shabbos comes around. That's called Mechus Hazman. Hayamim. Mechus Hazman. Mechus Harinzman. But in the case of the Mishnah, where we're missing many days until the next Shabbos comes around, that's very short. We're short many days. Much time is missing, so to speak. Meaning, we're not yet there. We're not even close to the proper Zman. In which case, the Shulchan is not Mekadosh the breads until the right time comes around, which is next Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, hold it. Soif, soif. Return to Amid Beis. I understand that now, Sunday, when I'm arranging the bread, it's way too early. It's way premature. But let's fast forward. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, Friday night is really just one night short of the proper Zman, which is the Shabbos by day, right? So that first Friday night, since it's only one night off, we have already concluded that Laila is not considered Mechus Zman. The night prior to the next day is close enough, so the Shulchan already at this point gets activated, is Mekadosh the bread. Okay, so what's the problem? Now, yeah, the problem is because if you're going to leave it on the Shulchan for another whole week, as per the Mishnah's instruction, you see, typically the bread is meant to stay on the table from Shabbos midday to next Shabbos midday, which is sort of 8 days, you know, but technically only 7 full days and 7 nights. Here it's overstaying an extra night. Okay, you put it all on the table Sunday. Oh, wrong time. You're going to have to leave it up there for 2 weeks, right? Next Shabbos and then Shabbos following. So at this early point, there's no Kedusha, there's no issue, so it doesn't get affected by passage of time. But as soon as the first Friday night arrives, it's close enough to the next day, Kedusha is now activated. And now when it stays up there for another week, it will become possible before the next Shabbos arrives. As soon as it experiences the next Friday night, that's already past 7 nights, it's already the 8th night. It will become possible before you have the opportunity to remove the breads on the second Shabbos. Kimato, again, kimato leli de Shimshi. As soon as the night, Beishimshi is a reference to Friday night. As soon as the first Friday night arrives, Likdosh, the bread should become Kaddish on the Shulchan, but Lipson, then it should become Pasal the next Friday night, the following week. Amar Rabbi, you're right, but Shekhodim is Silek. In that case, you're right, it's Pasal. We're talking that he actually quickly removed the breads before the first Friday night arrives and waited until the next morning. And only at that point was he Mekaddish the breads, and now it's 7 days until following Shabbos, and you're safe and sound. Mazrutra Amar, but Mazrutra B'Tema, some say Rav Ashi Amar, has a different explanation why this is not an issue, why it's not affected by the extra passage of time. I feel like Mishali Kodim Masilik, even if we're not speaking that he removed it in time. The answer is, Kivin Desidra Shalik Mitzvasi. Since it was set up inappropriately, the original setup on the Sunday was the wrong time. It's as though it was set up by a monkey. It's an expression, which means to say that it doesn't really connect to the Shulchan at all. It was meant to be arranged by a Kayin properly. It was done the wrong time. It's non-existent. In which case, it's as though the bread is not sitting on the table. And the Mefarshim bring the Rashi in Maseches Yoma that explains further. So how are we going to get around this? How are we going to rectify the situation? The answer is, until Shabbos, nothing's happening. But come Shabbos, a kohen will actually pick it up and put back the bread. So now it's a proper arrangement, which initiates on Shabbos. And now you're good. Now you wait until next week, and you can eat the lechem upon it. Says the Mishnah, "Shtei alechem necholos ein pachas mishnai." Ulias Rosh Shleisha. So now we shift over to other breads, the breads that are offered on Shavuos, the Shtei alechem. So you're not meant to bake the breads on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's the halacha. So you have to break it erev Shavuos. So how long until you actually consume it? It's 2 days at a minimum, meaning if you bake it Erev Shavuos, you'll eat it as Shavuos, so that's the second day. In Pachas Mishnah, at a minimum it's two. Below Yisrael Shal, Al Shloisha, at the most, it's going to be three. How do you get to three? Keitzad Nef, Keitzad. How do you get to these numbers? Nefos Merev Yom Tov, on a regular year, you bake it Erev Yom Tov, and you eat it on Yom Tov. Nechalos Erev Yom Tov Shnaim, so when you consume it on Yom Tov, it's the second day. But Chol Yom Tov is Achar Shabbos. Suppose Shavuos falls out on a Sunday, so now you have to back up another day. You have to bake it a day earlier on Erev Shabbos. Ultimately, you're going to eat it on the third day, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. Lechem Aponim. Okay, I will come back to Lechem Aponim. How long until consumption? Lechem Aponim. Ein Nechal Pachos Mitisha. At a minimum, it's going to be the 9th day. When you count the day of baking and the day of consumption, it's the 9th day. That's the standard place. At most, it's 11 days. Ketzad. How? Nefem Erev Shabbos. You bake it on Erev Shabbos, as is typical. V'nechal b'Shabbos. Eat it on the following Shabbos. So that's the 9th day. Latisha. That's the standard. Chol Yom Tov Erev Shabbos. Suppose you have Yom Tov on Erev Shabbos. You have to back up a day. bake it on Thursdays, that gives you another day. Nachal Asara, that stretches it to 10. Suppose it's two-day Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Thursday, Friday. If they bake it on Wednesday, it backs it up another day. Nachal Achad Asar, it gives you 11. And this is because when you Shabbos, I say Yom Tov, you can't bake these breads on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, Deuches Yom Tov, you can bake them on Yom Tov. Vein Deuches Yom Tov, you can't bake them on Yom Kippur, but only on a regular Yom Tov, that's okay. So he holds, despite the fact that it's not really, personal consumption bread, it's a carbon. Nevertheless, he holds that it can be done even on Yom Tov, and the Gemara in Beitza will discuss this in great length and explains his opinion. Amar Ravina. Now, actually, speaking about the Gemara in Beitza, there's a big machlekes there. You know, a person can do malacha for personal consumption on Yom Tov. Eichel nefesh is muta. What about be makriv karbonis, nedarim, nedavos, donations, pledges? Can that be done even on Yom Tov? And again, it's based on psukim, which is discussed in Maseches Beitza. Amar Ravina, Divrei Omer, according to the opinion that nedarim and nedavos ain't krevim b'Yom Tov. You can't offer these karbonis on Yom Tov. You want to shecht an animal for personal consumption? Fine, but not a karbon. That's not really considered personal use. It's a carbon which sometimes you eat from, right? But so if you say you can't do it, let me explain to you the reason. Leitema, don't think for a second with a rice and mechza chazim. In a Torah, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. It's not an issue of a malacha. It's only Rabbanu de Gazru Chacham don't allow it for their reason. Shalai Yishe, we're concerned that if you have the opportunity to bring it on Yom Tov, you might just delay your bringing of the karbanis until you come up to the Beis Hamikdash. Which creates all kinds of complications. There's an issue of being mechaven es malach to be moed. You know, a person is meant to arrange his life in a way that he doesn't bring himself to the malach on Yom Tov unnecessarily. Here he's sort of belating his karbanah is for Yom Tov. And secondly, there's an issue of bal ta'acha, that is an issue of delaying the bringing of karbanahs past certain times. So we're concerned about those things. That's not the reason. El mederaisa nami lechazo. No, it's min ha-Torah that we can't bring these offerings on Yom Tov. What's my proof from our Mishnah? The Hoshtei Alechem. The Chavis HaYomu. Take a look at our Mishnah. Hoshtei Alechem is a Shvuos obligation, right? You meant to bring it on Shvuos. But like Lamei Hashem Yishe. And the idea of unnecessary delaying doesn't apply in this case. You bring it on Shvuos because you bring it on Shvuos. Uktani, and the Mishnah says you can't bake it on, you can't do Malacha. Even for this sake on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so apparently when it's carbon related, we don't do malachis. If you can get around without it, Vuktani, the Mishnah says, ein loy doyche loy yisah Shabbos loy yisah Yom Tov. You can't even bake it on Yom Tov. What do you mean on Yom Tov? You can do a malacha for personal for food related malacha. The answer is it's a carbon. A carbon does not allow for that, and it's min hatur. At least according to the Tanakhama, Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees, of course. But according to Tanakhama, you should know that it's sourced in the Pesukim. It's not just a Gzerim Din Rabbanan, because if so, that wouldn't apply in this case. Hadam Loch Shtei Alech. Okay, we begin a brand new perek, 12th perek. Hadam Lochis Vanesach. Shenitmu Ashalai Kotche Bekli. So typically, we know that in the Beis Hamikdash they had two types of Kedusha. It was a very basic Kedusha called Kedushas Damim. Something which was possessed, so to speak, by the Hegdish authority. It's financially committed to Hegdish. It's a possession. It's monetarily holy. Okay, Kedushas Damim. Then we have something called Kedushas Haguf. Right, so let's say a mincha, right? A flower. It's Kaddish at this point. It's committed for the mincha, but it's only Kedushas Damim. But once you place it in a Kli Shareis, that enhances its Kedusha, that elevates it to a higher level of Kedusha, gives it Kedushas HaGuf. It's inherently Kaddish. Now it's poised to be used for Karban. It's already en route to the Mizbeach. Okay? So it gets a higher level of Kedusha. Now typically, Pidyon, redemption, suppose you want to redeem it and undo the Kedusha and transfer the Kedusha and the money and the Kedusha onto money and use it to purchase new material, that only applies to something which is Kedusha's Damim. I mean, logically, right? Something which is monetarily Kaddish, so its Kedusha is tied to its value. So if you transfer the value, then you transfer the Kedusha. But something which is inherently Kaddish, that's non-transferable. Says the Mishnah, Menachas v'Nesachim, Mincha material, Nesachim material, wines, all that. Shnitma, let's say they became Tamei, which is good reason to do Pidyon. So it depends. Achal Lekotcha B'Kli, before it was sanctified in the Kli Sharis, in which case it only has the lower level of Kedusha, that's only value-based. Yesh Lam Pidyon, you can do Pidyon, you can transfer Kedusha onto money and redo the purchase. But Shekitcha B'Kli, once it got Kedusha HaKli Sharis, it now acquired Kedusha HaGuf, it's committed to the process, you can't just transfer it. In Lam Pidyon, you can't do Pidyon. Furthermore, ha'efes va'etzim va'lavoina kli sharis mishnitmu. You have bird karbanis, wood committed for mizbeach firewood, va'lavoina, lavoina that was committed for the mizbeach kli sharis. All these things, even mishnitmu, even if they become tamei, ain la pidyon, you can't be paid to them. Why shelo nemar pidyon al behema? Rashi explains, we only find a behema. By behema, that is kedushas haguf, we only find there that, you know, if something happens, it becomes it gets blemished, so it drops a level, and now you can be paid it. That's the only example of something which is kedushas haguf, which allows for pidyon, but otherwise, you can't do pidyon. Amar Shmuel, afilu ein toyrin, niftin. So this goes back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Menachos nesachim, which are merely kedushas damim, before it was placed in the Kli, so you can do Pidyon. And the Mishnah says, well, if it became Tameh, you can be paid. It says the Gemara, even if it's not Tameh, you can decide to be paid, it's not a problem. I feel like Niftin, my timer. Why? Look, before it became sanctified in the Kli Sharis, it still occupies a lower tier of Kedusha. Kedusha's Damim, the Kedusha's Damim. And you can just transfer them. The Kedusha's Damim, Niftin. Ask the Gemara about Nitmu with none, but why does the Mishnah point out that it became Tamei? It sounds like that's a precondition to allow Pidyon. Who had the Nafka by Nitmu? No, the same would apply even without Tumah. V'aydi, the Mishnah just used the word Nitmu sort of as matching language to the next part of the Mishnah. V'aydi, the Kaboy, the Mishnah, Seifa. On account of the next halacha, since the Mishnah wanted to proceed and tell us, at this early point, you can be paid about Mishnah Kitcher, B'Kli, and Pidyon, but once it wasn't a Kli, you can't do Pidyon. And the point there is that even if it was Tamei, which gives you good reason, good excuse, good, you know, good coverage, good enough reason for Pidyon, I feel an itmo, nami, loy. And the point is, no, even then you can't be Pidyon, because once it's in a Kli, it's too late. Tamei, nami, reisha, shnitmo. That's why the Mishnah and the Reisha also mentioned itmo. But really, even without that factor, you can be Pidyon if it's merely Kedushas Tamei. Shouldn't much like Kitchbukli. Fine. Ask the Gemara. What's the chiddush? What's the point of the Mishnah? Pshita, it's pretty obvious. Kedushas Haguf Nino. Once the Menachos and the Nesachim are placed in the Kli, it's Kedushas Haguf. And why would you think it could be played? It's inherently Kaddish. Israel, if there was a point to make, why? I mean, perhaps I would say, Hoyle Bamumi Kurtame. We find by animal, right? Even though the animal was committed for a carbon, it's Kedushas Haguf. But Allah is, if it gets a blemish, and the Torah relates to a blemish as Tumei, we'll see later, the Pasuk calls it, relates to it as a form of Tumma, it's sort of in that category of Tumma. Since the Balmum is called Tumei, so perhaps Balmum and Tumei are interchangeable. A Balmum is regarded as Tumei, and perhaps Tumei is regarded like a Balmum. Tumei, nami ki Balmum Tumei. In which case, even a Mincha, which is Kedushas Haguf, but if it's Tamei, it's like a blemished animal. Va'avagav the Kodesh, Kedushas Haguf, even if it's inherently Kodesh, but Kinafel Be'mom, Mifrik. Right? So even though, by an animal, which is Kodesh Kedushas Haguf, still the Halacha is Kinafel Be'mom, Mifrik. If it experienced a mum, you can redeem it. Perhaps the same over Haninam, here as well, by these materials in the Mishnah. Lifrik, even if it's inherently Kaddish, but if it gets Tuma, which is treated like a Balmum, you can be paid it. It sort of gets downgraded, and it allows for transferring, for redemption. Kamashmon, no. That's why the Mishnah tells us, no. The Lavki, I tell me, Kai Rechman Balmum. So this type of tumah that was experienced by the mincha and the kli, that's not like the tumah that the Torah relates to Baal Mum. No, here's a different story. We move to Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph. The mikli shores lay ashkan mifrik. Unlike an animal which experienced a mum, which allows for redemption, here it's different. Because once the material was in a kli shores, it was committed to the hakrava process in this fashion, it's on the way to the mizbeach, kli shores serve as a mizbeach, too late. You can't reverse the process, and you can't redeem it. It's committed, and it's it becomes possible to the point that you can't be paid it, and we know that by the kachim that are possible, there's all kinds of halachas, there's sreifa, right, and Rashi points out, right, that you know, a behema as well, right? It's true, the behema is alive and has a mum, you can be paid it. But mikli shores, once the behema experienced the kli shores, Rashi says, like the sakin, once the shechita took place, and the sakin is the knife of the kli shores, so it endows the behema with a level of kedusha which cannot be reversed. Well, yashkan the mifra, you can't redeem that. The carbon becomes possible after shechita, you have to burn it. Likewise, menachas and asachim, after it experienced the kli shores, it's on this track and it cannot be reversed. Not redeemed. Okay, let's just recap. We had a Mishnah with three examples of inappropriate arrangements, whether it started after Shabbos, or whether the bezichim were offered too early. So it's possible. In the last case, we have a solution. If the whole thing started only on Sunday, leave it up there until the following Shabbos. Now, what about the fact that it's possible? We solved that issue in a couple of ways. Either it was removed before the lina would you know, sort of be a concern, or since it was placed in the wrong time, it's like the kaif did it, so it doesn't really get the kedusha until the kain actually comes and redoes it, and now you have until the following week to finish the process. We'll discuss the time frame for the shtei alechem, lechem apanim, and as we learned, by the way, the other day, that lechem apanim was soft and fresh and warm, despite being 9, 10, 11 days old. This really highlights the hines that happened. It was such a long stretch of time. We discussed doing malacha for carbon purposes on the private carbon purposes on Yom Tov, or even breaking bread on the Lechem Apanim, which you have to do before Yom Tov and Shabbos. And we discussed the concept of Pidyon, which typically only applies to Kedushas Damim. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.